So Stephen and I have been, we've been chatting this last probably month and a half about the promises of God. All the promises of God being yes in Christ. And our amen is in agreement to God's promises and saying, yes, I'm aligning myself with your promises and even claiming them for, and saying, my amen is the yes, is saying yes to your yes. I like that. I love that, how it says that in 2 Corinthians. So we're going to carry this through, and it's going to be another couple weeks probably, and if the Lord allows, all the way up until a week or two before Easter Sunday, which then we'll start getting into our Easter messages, which is a lot of fun. So I'm going to start by asking a question. What is the protocol in your own personal life when you have a toothache? It's not a trick question. I'm asking you, what do you do when you have a toothache? Okay, let me do this. Let me ask you. I'm going to ask it in a way that is you don't have to be 100% honest about it. What would you do if when you were a kid and you had a toothache? Oh, okay. Now, okay, so really, you just would cry to your mom and say, "Mom, my tooth hurts." Blah. Okay. Now, what do you do as an adult and have a toothache? Now you got to be honest. Oh, you go to the dentist. Really? Okay. What's that? Jenny said something. I think that this is probably a little more honest and a little bit more like, okay, transparent. Said, "No, I just take some pain pills." Take something to take away the ache, right? Hello?
Olive oil.
What?
Olive oil.
My mom and her oils. I don't know. I gotta. Yeah. I've never heard of that oil, but that's all right. How come I didn't get any of that oil when I was a kid? Oh, okay. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. I got motor oil. No. Here's the question that I wanted to get us to think about in just as we talk about a toothache, because a toothache means that there's something going wrong inside the tooth, right? That's why it hurts, right? That's not that difficult to figure out. Hello? Anybody in here ever have a toothache? I think everybody here has had a toothache, right? We live in America, right? Where we eat candy and soda and sugar for just about every meal. So we have, a lot of us have, at one given time or another, a bad tooth. Hello? Okay, so I'm relating to everybody in the room. Has anybody in here never had a toothache? Okay, really? Do you have teeth? Okay. I just kidding. Okay, well, here's what I want us to talk about this, because if the illustration is imperfect, which it is, but it applies, I want us to think about it like this: is God is like a dentist, okay? Because here's the thing: is typically we would like to when we have a toothache, we just simply would like the ache to be gone, and so we would really just like to take an aspirin or put a oil on it and it for it to just go away, the ache to go away. But what typically has to happen for the actual toothache to go away and it to be taken care of? Huh? Usually, every toothache that I have ever had has required a root canal. Every single toothache that I have ever had has required a root canal. I don't know why. I just don't get simple toothaches. They are bad. So what we need to do, what needs to happen, is basically we need to let God do the root canal. What we typically want God to do is just fix the wrong, fix the ache, fix the pain, fix the situation, the circumstance that is aching us, ailing us, causing us distress, causing us trouble. It could be finances, a relationship, a coworker, a boss, a wife, a husband, a child, and say, fix it. Fix that person. Fix what's wrong. But really what God is more interested is he's more interested in doing the root canal than he is in just fixing what is causing the ache inside of us. You guys know what a root canal actually is? I looked it up. Google told me what it was. Because I've had a few, but I wanted to know exactly what it actually is. So listen, a root canal is a treatment used to repair and save a tooth that is badly decayed or become infected. During a root canal procedure, the nerve and the pulp are removed and the inside of the tooth is cleaned out and sealed. Did you hear that? Cleaned out and sealed. That's sounding super scriptural to me almost. Without the treatment, the tissue surrounding the tooth will become infected and abscesses may form. What's an abscess? It's a pocket of pus. Basically causing lots of pain. Sorry for the graphics, but are you guys with me? So I'm going to read a passage of scripture that I believe God is wanting to do in our lives, each and every one of us. It's in Luke chapter 6, starting verse 27, out of the New Living Translation. Listen to this. The reason I chose the New Living Translation is simply because of this first phrase at the beginning. I like how it words it. But to you who are willing to listen, any takers? All right, good. There's three of us in the room that are listening. Hey, I'll take three any day. I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. And if someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Trevor had an incident this week. Yeah, fact, he came home and he said, man, today was a really bad day. It's one of the worst days I've had all year. He said, I was boot ganged. It's like, what? Because somebody jacked my wallet. And in it, he had like, what do you have, $69 and probably about $100 in gift cards left from Christmas. And I said, well, what happened? How'd you find it? He said, well, they turned it into lost and found back at the office with just simply my school ID in it, and that was it. Like, oh. Everything in me wanted to go and race down to that school and just make them do what's right. Get his stuff back. And then I read this. Oh, I said, well, somebody's had a good day, and it wasn't you. Somebody else did, though. How do you deal with this? But listen, let's go on, because it gets good. It gets even better. If you want to get better, want to do some root canal work, let's do it. Then he says, when something's taken away from you, don't even try to take it back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to only those who do good to you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. then, listen to this, then your reward, that sounds like a promise, then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Man, that just dug right into the nerve of my very tooth and just started like drilling. It's almost like God is drilling right into raw nerve and saying, let me fix what's wrong with you. It could be just my very mindset, my thinking. A couple of things in there. I want to read the passage. It's in Matthew chapter 5:48, because this is actually a piece of the Sermon on the Mount that Luke's quoting. And as Matthew quotes that last little bit, he says something a little bit different. Because remember, he says this last little verse says, you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Matthew 5:48 says, but you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. What's he referring to in that? Isn't he simply referring to that statement that he made beforehand? Said God is kind to the unthankful and even the wicked. What's he saying in that? I want us to really just break that down just really quick and just receive what Jesus is actually saying in that. Let the root canal, let God do the drilling on the raw nerve that needs to be done. What's he saying in that? God, you got it. That's exactly right. Thank you, Valerie. It's saying, remember, he was kind and compassionate to you. Remember, he was compassionate and graceful and loving to you. Because were you full of love and this great person? Is that why Jesus died for you? Because you're a really good person? Hello? Oh, okay. Two of us know. The rest of you are really good people. And you, Jesus died for you because you're just fantastic, amazing, beautiful, loving people, right? No. You are wicked, evil, self-centered, just like everybody else who doesn't know Jesus. And you needed Jesus too. Amen? God, you guys are a little bit kind of like halfway here with me. All right? Let's see if I get you all the way here. God is into healing. God is very much into healing and helping you and I. But he's really interested in perfecting you and I. That's what he's interested in. The work perfecting is a... It's if you take the illustration, like I said, if it's not... may not be perfect, but it fits, of God being like a dentist. One of the fears, if you're really honest about going to a dentist, how many of you go to a regular six-month checkup to a dentist? Wow, that's impressive. Yeah, I just learned like a few years ago, that's a good idea.
Yes,
it's like, it's a really good idea. They actually, but there's this always this fear of like when I go in, what's he going to find? Is he going to find something that he's going to have to do this major work on? And so you know that 6 month in between, I'm like, I'm just thinking, I got to really take care of my teeth. I got to brush them well. We got these nice, really awesome. If it's a little commercial for electric toothbrushes, here it is. They work. They're awesome. Spend the money. You will save the money in dental bills if you spend the money on an electric toothbrush. We've figured that out too recently, and it really does work. So, you know, I'm thinking I got to brush. I got to get those babies clean, man. I don't want any because I why? Because I don't want any root canal. They really do. They're saying that they suck. I hate them. They're horrible. I do not like them. They're the worst. I'm very much into what God is actually doing. What God is doing, it's kind of like a dentist. He's there. If you have a really good dentist, which guess what, we have a really good God, and He's into perfecting you. He's not he's not looking to find fault in you. He wants to, he's looking to perfect you and make you like him, right? Hey, does anybody agree with that? Okay, good. I think we need to really express our amen to that truth. Is he's not looking to find fault in you. Did you know that? Amen. Did you know that? God is not looking to find a fault in you. He's not looking for cavities. He's not looking, I knew it. No, God is looking to perfect you. So when he finds the stuff and he exposes it and shows it to you, it's the perfecting process that he's doing in you. And that's good news. That's a kind and compassionate God. Hello? Okay, good. I hope that we're getting that. In our amen to God and his promises, we're essentially saying, go ahead, God, and drill away. You know, you do have to give the dentist. I've been to a dentist before in the past, and he's told me some bad news about my teeth. And guess what I did? See you later. You ain't doing none of that on me. I said, forget it. I'm out of here. Did I pay the price later? Yeah. Yeah, I'm missing teeth because I didn't let him do the work that needed to be done. Fact. So I have to give the dentist permission to drill away, just in the same way I have to give God the permission to do the work in me that needs to be done. It's really simple. It's very simple. God loves you. He's into perfecting you, but we've got to give him that permission to perfect us. I'd like us to talk about something also that's in this passage in Luke chapter 6. The beginning of the passage, Jesus is essentially telling us to love people that you don't like. Did you catch that? Love your enemies. Does anybody like an enemy? Hello? You guys with me still? Did you guys fall asleep? Did the whole dentist thing just cause you to just like, I'm out of here? It's like talking about school to a bunch of in youth group. You never talk about schoolwork when you're teaching youth group and doing youth group. They tune you out instantly. I still remember I remember a day. I had a coworker that, as God was impressing on my spirit, in my spirit and on my heart, to love this coworker, to share the gospel with this coworker, I asked God regularly, daily, every morning, to give me a love for this person, because he was extremely difficult to get along with. He was so difficult that in the midst of this asking God to say, God, give me a love for him because I'm really struggling. I don't like him at all. He's difficult. And he rubs me every which way wrong that can be rubbed. And God, give me a love for him. So I was asking God to give me love for him. And I kid you not, it was in the midst of this. And this was a process. It carried out for some time. In one of the weekends that we were having to, we got to work on a Saturday, you know, and we were working on a Saturday in this job down in Sacramento, and I could still distinctly remember the job site that I was on, and everybody on the job site that was there working with me can remember exactly where we were working and the time we were working on it and the exactly the wall we were working on. Because in the midst of this day, asking God to say, God, give me a love for him, he comes to work hungover like no end. I mean, he's there on a Saturday morning, and it's finally about 9 or 10 o'clock. He's just griping all morning long how he hated being there. He didn't want to be there. He didn't deserve to be there. He hates this job. He hates everything about it, and just griping and griping and griping. and how horrible he feels. And finally, I just exploded. I'd had enough. And it was the one time that all of my coworkers, they heard it come out of my mouth. And I said, it's your own bleepity bleep 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 fault. And I'm serious, everything on the job shut down, stopped. Because they knew who I was. They knew, and I just exploded on this guy. And I thought, wow, that was really loving. No, that's what God told me. And you know what? He didn't gripe the rest of the day, but here's what happened is God used that to show me something. And it was really neat what God showed me, and I'm going to share it with you. I hope you guys can learn something from my mistake, is that when I was actually asking God, God, give me a love for this person, God actually called me to account of what I was actually asking. He said, now, what are you actually asking? And I said, well, God, I really do want to love him. He says, no, what are you really asking for me to do? Yeah, make him easier to deal with for me. And that's what God showed me. He said, that's what you're really asking. You really want me to make him more lovable so that you can love him, don't you? I said, oh. Yeah, that's really what I was asking. And so God convicted my heart, and he said, that's not my love. That's not the love that I gave you. I don't love you because you're lovable, Eric. I love you because I am love. And I cannot do anything but love. And I'm asking you to love him right where he's at. In his annoying, irritating fashion that he lives every day. Remember, he has to go home with himself, and he needs to see me in you. And that's love. Yeah, that was serious conviction, man. That was the drill on high speed with no Novocaine, baby. That thing was digging deep into the root of my very soul. And at that, you know, and to this day we laugh about it. This friend of mine, we call each other friends. He calls me when he needs something has a spiritual need. But the challenge is to love as Jesus is telling us to love. You see, I think there's a shallowness that we've heard in this. Sometimes there's this shallow phrase. Have you ever heard somebody say it? And forgive, I've probably said it. In fact, I think I know I've said it. Just find the good in people. That's not a bad thing to do. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do, but is that really the love of God, to just find the good in people and focus on that? When I stop and think about what that actually is requiring me to do, it's kind of like, it's almost like requiring me to squint really hard and just see if I can find something good in you. And here's the problem with that is so many times I don't find it. I know, it's funny, I agree. Because we're so, usually it's a person that has hurt me, that's all I see. Hello? And now you're asking me, well, just find the good in them and focus on that. That's not scriptural. That's not the love of God. Now, I'm not saying just go around and find bad in people. That's not either. Don't do the opposite. That's ugly. And cynical, and, you know, who wants to be around a person that all they'd ever do is see bad in you? Nobody wants to be around that. But here's what I'm encouraging and challenging us to do is take our level of commitment to God to a level that actually is an equivalent to how God is. Basically, be perfect as he is perfect. Look at people with compassion as he sees you with compassion. Hello? Isn't that what he's asking us to do? With me? Okay. It just got gritty there for a second, right? Amen. Oh, sorry. So we come to, I think, this other part portion of this passage, where I think I believe it's a humbling reality that we are to God. Jesus is encouraging us to do good for a reward. Did you see that in there? Notice that Jesus doesn't condemn or even correct the concept of seeking reward for doing good. He simply redirects our focus to the highest rewarder, who is God. Did you hear that? That was one of my favorite notes that I just got this morning. I'm going to reread it because I really liked it. It's probably 180 characters or less, so it's tweetable. Jesus doesn't condemn or even correct the concept of seeking reward for doing good. He simply is redirecting our focus to the highest rewarder, who is God. Do you see that in the passage of Scripture? Do you see it in there? Because I'll reread it where he says it. Do to others as you'd have them to do to you. If you love those who only love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. Even if you lend to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to the others sinners for a full return. You see, there's no condemnation in the seeking the reward. It's the who you're getting the reward from. In other words, from other people. Right? If you do good to get a reward or a pat on your back from your friend, your neighbor, your pastor, you've sought the reward from somebody who really, that's all that I am capable of doing, is patting you on the back. But what is God capable of doing? He's capable of giving you a reward that is carries on for eternity. Hello? I can't. And you can't for each other. We encourage each other in this process, but we do it for the reward that God encourages us to seek that for, which is loving those who need love. Hello? That's intense stuff. I think so. Colossians 1, 3, and 5 says it this way. It says, we always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. You hear what he's saying in that? Saying, you love, why? Because you have a hope of God, in God, who is the rewarder for those who love others. Saints and sinners. In Colossians, he's referring to your love for each other as saints. Jesus is referring to loving those who hurt you, who speak ill of you, who even harm you, and even to do good. Is it possible? So listen, is it possible to look to God as our great rewarder in regards to love that He tells us is the greatest pursuit, and in this pursuit find rewards as we love? Did you hear what I just said there? That's really good. Is it possible, and it's a rhetorical question, in other words, the answer is yes, to look to God as our great rewarder in regards to love that He tells us is the greatest pursuit, is to love? Where does He tell us that? 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to this. So I'm going to ask us to look at this. Let's. Have you ever looked at 1 Corinthians 13 in the depiction and the characteristics of love in this light? I haven't until just recently. Typically, I'll look at this 1 Corinthians passage. It's like it's something that we do. We do it at weddings. Ministers do. We share this passage because it's a depiction of what love, the characteristics of love are to look like. But what if it's actually in regards to when Jesus said there's a reward for loving? What if this is actually in light of the reward? Is there a reward in this love? So listen to this. I want us to listen to this and just track it and try to process it in your brain, if you will. Allow the Holy Spirit to do this. Is there a reward for being patient? Love is patient. Is there reward in being patient? Another word for patience is what?
Long-suffering.
Is there a reward in that? How about eternal reward? And there actually is even temporal reward. I don't know about you, but when I choose to listen to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit cause me to just settle down and be patient, wait on God, what do I get out of that? Peace. Who said that? Somebody. Robin did, of course. I don't know about you, but peace is an amazing, fantastic reward. Hello? I like peace. That's a good reward. How about eternal peace? That means peace everlasting. How about peace here and now? So love as a reward, to love in patient, to be patient is love, and the reward is peace. That's awesome. Hello? You want to go on? A couple more? Okay, let's just go on, because I think it's really good stuff. Love is kind. Is there a reward for being kind? Let's scratch the kindness to people that are kind to you. Jesus said, there's no reward in that. But is there a reward for being kind to somebody that is unkind to you? Absolutely, because when you're kind to somebody that is unkind to you, and you return their unkindness with kindness, what do you get? Peace is good too. I think you're going to get peace with that too. You're going to get peace, but you're also going to be able, you're going to establish, and I think it's even, you establish a testimony of God's grace and goodness in you. It is so easy to return unkindness with unkindness. That's the natural reaction, right? Hello? Come on, just drive down the road. That's all you got to do. And you'll find yourself at being challenged to be unkind back to those that are unkind to you on the road. But when you choose to be kind, loving to somebody that's unkind to you, there's a reward in that that you can't measure. It's something in your soul that like digs deep down and says, aha, I represent Jesus. And in that, kindness is that which Jesus was to me when I didn't deserve it. And there's a reward in that. And no regret. Oh, man. Anybody here have regret for how the way you treated somebody? Just this week. Let's just go with just this week. Like, we don't have to go far back. This morning. That kind of sucks, doesn't it? That kind of regret. I have it, where I responded wrongly, unkindly to somebody that was unkind to me. There's always regret with that. That's good. How about this? Love is not jealous. Oh, man. There's a reward in being trusting. Isn't there? Isn't there a reward in that?
Peace, yeah.
Yeah, man, we keep coming back to peace. Yeah. I like it. There's a reward when we love without jealousy. Do you know that reward is really awesome? I'm going to tell you, this is when you love without jealousy, because love is not jealous, you are acting 100% as Christ. Because in loving without jealousy frees everyone up in your life. Jealousy binds and restricts and imprisons everybody in your life, because they have to walk around fearing that they're going to offend you or make you jealous. Hello? Boy, that got really gritty. Man, that drill just went deep into that back molar, didn't it? I'm sorry. And I tell you, this is like root canal stuff. Oh, man, who comes to church to get a root canal? Amen. Security. Good. Robin knows what she's talking about. This is good stuff. We should do this more often. How about love is not boastful or proud or rude? Those all three can kind of be combined together because they actually do. They sum up that which is when somebody is boastful, proud, and rude. It's as though they've elevated themselves to a place of aboveness over you. And that's not love. It isn't the love that Jesus had. What is the love that Jesus had? Jesus saying this, knowing who he was, knowing where he came from, knowing where he was going, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around him, got on his hands and knees, and washed his disciples' feet. That's not rude. That's not boastful. That's not proud. That is absolute meekness. That's security. That is an assurance of I know who I am so much so that I can serve you right where you're at whatever level you're at. You guys know about these. It's really popular for a lot of these churches, mega churches, you can find probably dozens of videos or stories of the executive pastor, because that's what they're called, comes in and he dresses as a hobo or a homeless person. And he sits outside and he has all these, you know, so he basically he's tricking his people to whether or not they're going to take care or love on this person. And you guys seen the stories, right? Anybody seen the stories? Really? Yeah, I guess I listen to weird stuff or watch weird stuff. I always think, oh, that's kind of funny because that wouldn't work at our church. It's like, yeah, it wouldn't work. But what I thought would work is the exact opposite. The exact opposite. If somebody were to come in all dolled up and dialed in and like, man, this is looking sharp, like driving up in some sporty utility, you know, something that's really, really fancy, come in here, how would we treat them? We love the homeless. We love the hobos and the down and out and the strung out. We love them. That's easy for us to love them. But do you love somebody that needs Jesus just as much as a homeless person that is driving a fancy car, dressed in nice clothes, and has lots of money? We say that. I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to get one of my rich friends to drive up and see how you treat them. I have a few. We'll just see how it works. I'm not going to let you know when it's going to happen because then you'll all do what's right. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought that. I don't know if that had anything to do with anything, but whatever. Yeah. Whether they're wealthy or whether they're dirty. Dirty. Amen. Let's go on. Love is not boastful, proud, or rude. It does not demand its own way. So what is the reward in not demanding your own way? There's a reward in this. Listen to this. Amen. I don't have to control it all. I don't have to micromanage everything in my life. I can trust other people that God is doing stuff in their lives just as much as he's doing stuff in my life. Hello? That's totally freeing. There's so much freedom in that. Oh my goodness. That excites me because that's like, yes! I love that. And maybe there's like an ulterior motive to that one for me because it's like, I just want people to be free to serve the Lord. And yes, just go and serve it. Don't ask me how to do it or tell me, yeah, just go do it. Amen. Yeah. I'll move on because I might get. Oh, praise the Lord. Where am I at? Okay, love does not, I can't remember where I'm at. Does not demand, it's not irritable. That's a good one. What kind of reward in not being irritable? Is there a reward as loving out of, huh?
Peace.
Okay, coming back to peace. Keep coming back to that one. That's a
good.
Oh, man, you get friends? People like you? That's a good thing. And that's not an evil thing. Oh, if you're liked by the world, oh, you're not a Christian. Oh, you should be hated by everybody in the world. That's just stupid. It's really stupid. I said stupid. Trevor's going, you're just stupid. I like that community leaders in this community, they like me. Not because I'm, it's because I'm not a, it's because of, I know it's, there's things there, but they, we're on point with wanting the best for this community, and that's a good thing. And we work together well. You know, I don't demand it to be this way and that way, and they don't do it to me. So there's a relationship and there is communication, and that is wonderful. But we like each other in it, so there's not that irritability. Just set yourself free from being irritated by people. Wow. Try that on for size this week. Just try it on. Just don't let people irritate you. Just. Amen, sister. I like that. Yes, but that's a, but it's a good choice. You know, and that's being honest. That's being honest. To me, the dishonest thing is like, I said it earlier, I think it's dishonest to yourself to say, well, I'm just going to find what's good in people, and that's what I'm going to focus on. No, that's dishonest to your very soul, because then you're having to squint really hard to look and examine and scrutinize people to try to find something good. No, just love them. Love them even though they're bad and not good. That's what Jesus did to you and me. Hello? Amen. I'm just going to just quickly get through the last two because I got this great quote from C.S. Lewis. I don't know how to. Okay. It's a great quote. Love does not rejoice over injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance. The promises of the reward that you get in that is you are in it till the end, until God sees you home. And in that seeing you home, He will be waiting for you with immense reward that is beyond your ability to even ask or imagine, for even to process here on this earth. So I say it's when Jesus said, Jesus didn't say, don't go after reward. He said, focus your reward on the one that actually has the power, the ability, and the willingness, because his eyes are looking to and fro, seeking whom he can instill his strength into those whose heart is loyal to them, right? He's looking to give reward to you. He's looking for opportunities to reward you. So the opportunities to reward you are the opportunities in front of you to love somebody that needs love, the difficult people mostly. Wow. Could it be that God in His infinite wisdom and love for you and for me is using every difficult circumstance and every difficult person in my life and in your life to perfect me, to perfect you, by doing a root canal as the master potter, molding you into the lump of clay that He's created you to be. Amen? Here's the great quote by C.S. Lewis. And then we'll pray. Says, we must resist the temptation to seek the sprinkling of Christ and surrender all and be baptized in Christ. For he claims all because he is love and must bless you. He cannot bless you unless he has you. When you try to keep within yourself an area that is your own, you are holding on to death. Therefore, in love, he claims all. There's no bargaining with God in this area. I've heard people say, God wants 100% of your time, 100% of your devotion, 100% of your money, and 100% of your love. I'm going to say that's not true. God wants 100% of you. And in 100% of you, all the rest comes with it. So let's just surrender and say yes, yes, with a hearty amen to surrendering to Christ. Here's another thing I want to, this is a little footnote to this message. A little footnote. As I'm reflecting on this, I'm thinking of a father, a good father, having a child, a baby, that's learning to walk. The good father with the baby, the child, the adolescent that's learning to walk is so very pleased with the steps that the baby makes, right? Anybody relate? So delighted and pleased in the steps. And the steps may be stumbling, and they may just, their legs may give out and they may fall. But they're pleased in the baby steps that the baby's making, right? But is the father satisfied with those baby steps when that baby is a teenager? Absolutely not. So the father, the good father God, is always pleased in every attempt to take steps towards the perfecting work that he's doing in you. But he's never satisfied until it's done. In other words, he does not ever stop. He does not ever give up. He is relentless. The Holy Spirit is relentless at getting into my very craw. And I like that about God most of the time. I really do, because that's an assurance that he is for me. He doesn't ever give up on me. When I want to and I am tempted to and I sometimes even make steps to give up on him, he doesn't give up on me. And that's the grace of God. So make steps towards this. Make steps towards perfection. Make steps towards allowing God to do the root canal work in your very soul. Let him make those adjustments in you. And even if your baby steps are stumbling and bumbling and falling on your face, getting bruises and cuts and scratches doing it, he's pleased in that. That's good. It's almost like he's pleased in your failed attempts to go after him. Now that's weird. I don't know if I'd ever hear anybody say that, but he's pleased because you're going after him. God loves you, and he loves you to love others. Amen? Let's pray and worship the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your love for us, which is really, again, beyond our comprehension, beyond our even really putting it into words other than just saying thank you and amen. Amen to your yes. And the promises that you have before us as we step out, take steps, whether they're baby steps or full-blown strides towards loving others, we believe in the power of the gospel to reach and to save and bring others to Christ as you have brought each of us to Christ. As we say yes to you, we ask that you use us. Use us. Do the work in us so that others can say yes. And in Jesus' name, we worship you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.